Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Sign Guy and QT with you. Normally, I would give you show notes for the show is happening in the next few days, but due to the coronavirus, pretty much everything's canceled. Pretty much everything's off. So if you're planning to go to a show, I would double check, make sure it's still happening, and especially if you're going to one from a long distance, a lot of the ones that are still happening have very limited seating due to this, so make sure you're going to be able to get in once you get there. But hopefully we will be back with you in a couple of weeks at live shows once again to entertain the fans. But we have you covered today because our guest back on the show, first time in a way too long amount of time. He is not only a professional wrestler, he has authored a book called Project Recreate, The Amazing Weight Loss Journey of Professional Wrestler Rampage Radisson. Rampage, it's been way too long. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, the first thing I want to ask you about is the aforementioned book. I purchased the book, read it. I already was familiar with your story, but this gave me a little bit more of an insight into it. Can you tell the listeners what made you want to write the book and how the book is doing as far as getting into the hands of readers?
The book pretty much, okay, so the first of all, I had ran into the funny thing is my fiance, let me give the little bit of the gist of how it even got created. So my fiance, we were celebrating her birthday, and then we found out that one of her mom's friends, God bless her soul, she's suffering a lot of health problems right now, was having a birthday dinner at a restaurant up the road. So we finished my fiance's birthday, took her and her family, all of us, we went to her mom's friend's birthday celebration up the road. And that's when I ran into a gentleman by the name of Brandon, who is a publisher of books, published a lot of stuff. His company is known as Moon Books Publishing. He's on my Facebook friends page, Brandon Mullins, if anybody wants to look him up. Does some great work, as you already know, because you have a copy of the book. Very professionally published, and it's nice. A quick barcode and everything for shelf sales. So very, very professionally looking. Ran into this guy, didn't know him from the next guy walking down the street, and he's just like, hey, tell me your story. So I told him and gave him a brief little rundown, and then he's like, you know, I do publishing on the side for a living. I said, really? And then we all start talking. We met up one day at Starbucks. We worked out all the details with each other, mainly just numbers and what we want, what we don't want, you know, just basic business talk. And then the rest is history. As ironic as it sounds, today is Friday the 13th, March the 13th. The book was actually started production around like September, October-ish, and it got released on Friday, December 13th of 2019. So exactly 3 months ago from the day was when the book was released. As far as sales go, they've been good. It's definitely not a New York Times bestseller yet, but I do have Amazon as an outsource to purchase it. However, The problem with that is if you ain't got a Prime account, you got to pay like $6 shipping. The book is $12 on Amazon. I'm working on getting it in other places. However, the problem with that is since the book is published for $12, I would see less profit because there would be more hands in the pot. So, and that's something I'm trying to be okay with. I'm almost there. I don't know many people who has a book and says it's been published and it's in Walmart or it's a New York Times bestseller, you know, especially on the level that we're on. We're all independent workers. So that's the only downfall to that, looking into that already, obviously. But the sales itself, not been bad. They could have been better. I do offer the same price for my book through me, and I pay for the shipping. So you would, if you purchased the book through me, which Sign Guy did, the shipping's free. If you have an Amazon Prime account, that's fine. Go ahead and utilize that if you feel the need to, because you'll get free shipping also. But I already have a stock of the books. Amazon does too. I think I can get to you quicker than they can. I don't know, but I've been told it has. And then I've also, in some cases, it's taken forever, so it just varies. But overall, yes, the book has been doing good. And I would love to get it into more hands. The book originally, I am not a mean person. I play a mean person. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm mean. But I just got another part of the origin of the book. I kind of got to the – I've told everybody my story. Everybody's like, my God, dude, you lost like so much weight. How did this happen? How did this happen? So I told the story so many times. So based off telling the story so many times, a lot of good things come out of it. A, I already knew the story. B, I lived the story. And C, which was a negative thing, I just got to the point where I was like, oh, my God, I'm sick and tired of telling the story. So I wrote a book. And at the time that I met Brandon, the publisher of Moon Books Publishing, the book is already written. It just needed to be proofed, and it needed editing work done to it, and that was it. And that's what Brandon and Moon Books provided to me. And looking at the thing, I obviously think it did a fantastic job on the layout and everything. I mean, it's nice.
In the book, you told a story, and we discussed this before, but prior to the weight loss journey, you had extremely serious medical situation. We almost lost you at one point. A lot of fans today may not realize how serious it actually was. Can you take us through what the mindset was at that point and tell us how that kind of sparked the weight loss journey?
So to give everybody a little bit more in-depth story of how about passed away and died, and you read it, but I didn't. Okay, but the whole thing with this book is it's a good book and it tells the story and it does a good job of telling everything, but it does not have every single fluke in detail. I wanted to make sure to get the story out and to let people know about the story and maybe help them in any kind of journey that they're involved in life, and to show them, hey, things can be done if you set your mind to it. That was my main goal when I put the book out. But, you know, also, in a situation that I was in, it was really bad, and so I didn't tell all the details. So I'll give it a little bit more in-depth into it. Probably still won't be all the details, but it'll be a lot. So I had, obviously, at this point, I had already broke my leg. I was going back and forth between a wheelchair, crutches, and a walker. The doctor told me straight up, you know, it'd be a year before I'd walk again. When I got home from work that day, it was very complicated. It was my first day back to work, very complicated. Luckily, I had a couple coworkers that were really nice, Chris and Sean. They helped me out car and loaded up my wheelchair for me and put my crutches and walker in the back seat for me because I would jump back and forth and use all three. I got myself into the house, and I was breathing real heavy. my girlfriend at the time asked me, she's like, Skip, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. She's like, you're breathing really heavy. Like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. I was like, my chest hurts a little bit. I'm breathing a little heavy, but I'll be fine. Just let me sit down. I just got in. I'm trying to get used to this. It's not fun. So a little time goes by. She asked me how my day went after I settled down good. General conversation, and then I just started breaking out again and just breathed real heavy. And she's like, I'm going to call the ambulance. I'm like, no, don't do that. She's like, yes, I'm going to. And so I'm like, no. So I, to speed the story up just a tad bit, I ended up going to the emergency room. They found out that it was a breathing issue, and if you've ever had an issue where you go to the emergency room and it's a breathing issue, they don't make you wait. They immediately take you back to a room. So even if it's a makeshift room, they take you back to a room. Probably had one of the most scariest things ever happened in my life while I was back there, other than the fact that I about died, which I didn't know until after this thing happened. But they load me like a doctor and a nurse, and my fiance moved me from the wheelchair to the bed. I'm laying there, and I'm looking around, and the next thing I know, I've seen a flash mob, and I'm talking a flash mob, doctors, nurses, PNs, everybody just bombard my room. Immediately, it was that right there. It was just like, it kind of reminded me of the scene in Pee Wee Herman when he's on, you know, the stretcher, and he's on the gurney, and all the doctors and stuff surround him. He's freaking out. That's the way it was with me. It was completely a freak out session. I had all these people just bombard my room, and then they immediately grabbed, you know, machines, devices, and was literally hooking me up to each and every one of them. It was just crazy. And then I ended up being stabilized. I got put knocked out. They gave me a whole bunch of meds, did a whole bunch of stuff to me right there in the room. And I was just so dizzy and so out of it. Finally, I came back to, and the doctor asked me, he's like, hey, are you awake? I'm like, yes. He's like, coherent, can you understand everything I'm saying? Yes. And he done like a little test, had me check my vision and stuff like that, and had me repeat words and stuff like that, and make sure that I was there, which I was. And he said, what happened? And I said, I told my fiance, I was having bad problems breathing, told my fiance, you know, I didn't want to go to the hospital. If it continued, I would, in the morning, I would call off of work and I would go to the hospital then. I said, you know, I didn't want to go to the hospital. I have no idea what happened. All I know is I am here now. He said, he looked at me with the most serious look on his face. He goes, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, you're lucky you've listened to your girlfriend, because you would have not woken up to see tomorrow. He said, that light would have been taken away from you. I said, what? He says, you had a blood clot from your leg operation that started underneath the wound. And by the time that you got here, it had traveled all the way up to your lung and almost got to the point where it blocked it completely. And what do you say to that? You just kind of, you're flabbergasted, you're big-eyed, you're just like, oh, wow. He said, so it's a good thing that you got here when you did, because you wouldn't have made it for tomorrow. And I said, wow. So then, I ended up staying in the hospital like 3 or 4 times, all for a week stay. This is really annoying, but I understand that I had to. But yeah, that's more of an in-depth, story of exactly how that went down. It was probably like, I am a very firm believer that when it's my time to go, and this is just my belief, not everybody's, God's going to pull my card. And at that time, it wasn't my time to go yet. So I love being on this planet. I love her. But ultimately, I can't do anything about it when it's that time. So, but I am heavily blessed to be on this planet right now, because despite my belief in the way I believe in the stuff, like that. You know, when it's my time to go, it's my time to go. I have a lot of people and a lot of things here on this planet that love and care about me. So I'm happy to be here, brother. I'm happy to be on this show right now. That's how that went down.
I was very happy to still have you around. Still am, of course. You definitely scared a lot of people. Now, unfortunately, since your last visit, we lost someone that you teamed with for many, many years. Rob Kincaid passed away a little over a year ago. I saw him just a few days before he passed away, had a nice conversation with him. I know that you were partners for quite a while. A lot of the people that knew Rob still kind of in shock over it. What can you tell us about the days teaming with Rob Kincaid?
Man, that, you know, this is an hour-long podcast, man. That could take up the rest of the time. I'll try to make it short, sweet, but still descriptive and detailed for you. All right, so, me and him, went up, me and him, 25-time tag team champions. I mean, we won singles championships. And, of course, you know, things happen. We kind of went down our own path. I knew that guy every year I was in this business. I've been in this business for 20 years. I've known him for 20 years. When I first ran into Rob, I was an audience member at a CCW show. At a VFW post. Rob was the ring announcer. It was like 17, I was 15. And I thought, I was like, man, this guy is cool. Look at this, you know? Wearing his Shawn Michaels Wrestling Academy t-shirt and black leather jacket and ring announcer for CCW. I was like, man, this guy's cool. And this guy that started to keep talking with him and getting to know him. And then I started training with CCW, well, with Ken Owen, or Ken Gordon, training with him, who was in the area under the name of The Bouncer. He was a local worker. And then I started training with him, and then we had guest trainers all the time. The High Rollers would come in, TJ and Austin, train every once in a while, and nice. And every time there was a show for CCW, me and Rob was there setting up the ring, and we got a little training time in. We've been up and down the road, man. We've done a lot of things, seen a lot of things. The last time I seen him was at the Clifton Kronk Memorial Show. There's a conversation that went on. Potentially had phone conversations prior to that and post to that about a Locked and Loaded, for people who didn't know, that was mine and Rob's tag team name, having a Locked and Loaded reunion. We never, just to set the record straight, we never officially broke up. But, at the time, me and Rob had been friends for like almost 19 years, but not quite. In the 3 years prior to that, we kind of went our own paths. Like I said, I mean, he went one direction, I went one, and we always kept conversation. His mom knows, Mama D, she knows. We always talked, me and Rob did, over the phone. We just never had any kind of interaction, like hung out as chums those last 3 years before he passed away. We were just both so busy and blowing up in the wrestling, and then our day jobs, 9-to-5s, or whatever you want to call them. We always kept in contact with each other. We never lost contact. We had differences, you know. He wanted to go do this and do that, and I wanted to go do this and do that. But we always kept the peace and kept level-headed with each other. But ultimately, man, over that time period of me and him, dude, we won awards as tag teams, got noted in PWI. Heck, we had some guy in CCW, Windy City Championship Wrestling up in Illinois at the time, get a hold of me and him and said, man, we see you guys in PWI all the time. We want to bring you up to Chicago and have you work for our shows. We're like, what? So, yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of stuff together. We've been all, we went up and down the road. There's so much stuff about him I'll never forget it. And honestly, a lot of it's about golf. I still go see his mom and dad. And I got them a cool little plaque for Christmas. I've always liked them, and they've always liked me. I don't know, man. It was a rough situation, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, a lot of people thought it was because of drugs or alcohol, and that he passed away, and it wasn't. He choked. He had a fall. His throat was fully lodged. With a piece of beef. His mom made beef stew that night, and honestly, that really has messed her up, and she'll probably never get over that. That was what the autopsy report came back with, so. It was a very sad situation, man. I'll never forget anything about him. I mean, you can call me gay if you want, that's fine, but me and him, we loved each other, man. I mean, with a relationship that long, well, I'll be honest with you. Everybody knew Rob's sexuality. It's not a lie. It's not hidden. And I'll put it out there and I'll say this because I know this is like a nationwide show, dude. You've had this show for years, dude. I've known you for years. You've had this show for years. I don't care if you only have two listeners. Every show, the show airs from coast to coast. So, and I've seen it. I've seen the guests you have. Just because I don't always conversate with you or anybody in this world doesn't mean I don't know what's going on. So, no, in fact, my main point is just to put it out there. The whole time that me and Rob are friends and living with each other, never dated, never gay lovers, anything. I've never, ever in my life done anything with a dude. He's my friend. You know, sometimes in life, relationships are genuine the way they are. You know, he had a mad respect for me. I had a mad respect for him. We were roommates. I lived with him and his mom for a while, then lived with him. Then I lived with him and his mom and her brother, Billy. I mean, my very first tattoo came from his cousin, Billy, which is his mom's brother. I mean, that's how deep I was with that family, dude. I know everybody in his family. I mean... it's crazy. I know everybody. They all know me. I mean, we go way back. We ran and lived in places on the east side of Indy. I remember living over off of Gladstone Avenue on the east side of Indianapolis. And, dude, we've done so much together. We just go way back. We've fought some of the best. Rock and Kane is still to this day put me in the ring with the biggest star ever that I've ever. I've been in the ring with tons of big name veterans, like you said in your Book Them Friday, hashtag Book Them Friday post you put up on Friday. The biggest, Rocky K to this day still has put me in the ring with the biggest star that I've ever been in the ring, and I've been in the ring with tons of them. Jake Snake Roberts, he's done with wrestling. He'll still come to shows. He'll be your referee. He'll manage you. He don't wrestle anymore. 2009, Thanksgiving night, it was... Rob Kincaid came out, or Jake the Snake came out and cut a promo in front of a crowd that was sold out. We had 375 people in attendance, and that building was maxed out. It reminded me of the old, like, 80s, when you had to have security walk you to the ring because there was no way through the crowd. That's what this was like. As a matter of fact, the fire marshal showed up and said, there's one more person shows up in this building. I'm gonna shut this place down. And another 50 tickets was turned away. I mean, that night, Jake Snake came out and cut a promo. Rob Kincaid decided to put his mouth and his nose in the business he should have and almost got DDT'd until myself and Sexy Sean Casey came down and started beating him down. And then Tommy Gage made the save and challenged us to a tag team match. And we ended up going in the main event that night. I started out the match with Jake. Technically, we beat them because of my cheating ways. We'll figure right. But the ref reversed the decision and started the match over, and we both took two DDTs and lost our butts because we were arguing with the ref the entire time. So, recently, though, you know, Abyss, Adam Rose, Rikishi, good stuff there, too. I mean, I've been in the ring, like you said earlier, with some of the best veterans and took them toe-to-toe. I just recently beat Tommy Dreamer like a year ago. And by the way, I may add, it was a great match. But back to the main point. Rob Kincaid, man, still this day, put me in the ring with the biggest star. And honestly, man, I'm jealous of him. I know it hurts everybody, that he passed away. It hurts me. I think about it on a daily basis. I know his mom and dad does too. But I'm jealous because he gets to go up there and wrestle with all the bigger stars in the heaven of wrestling, the Heavenly Wrestling Federation. So one day me and him will meet again, and we'll have a good time. We'll run the roads up there together too, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, at this point, my co-host QT is standing by. I'm sure QT has some questions, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
That's fine, QT. What you want to know, man?
Hey, I enjoyed your YouTube video, and this was the one that took place on February 29th.
Mm-hmm.
It was MPIW/HCW Championship. Again, you went up against a man you wrestled many times, Sean Casey. But
yep.
What struck me at the beginning of this video, because during your entrance, you were followed by a person in an orange hat, and he had a luxurious beard, and he was holding two championship belts. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what the name of this mysterious stranger was? Because this was the first time I had seen.
Well, that would be the Savior Cody Nunn. That would be also my best friend and one day my best man at my wedding. The show prior to that, a couple weeks prior to that at MCIW, Cody actually I got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he did my Hall of Fame induction speech. Saul Creechman was supposed to be there too, the legendary manager who's been around many years. He didn't get to make it due to unforeseen circumstances, but Cody did. And Cody had been there the show prior as well too. But yes, that was Cody Nunn, one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet in your entire life. I mean, genuine. I've known him on and off for 10 years, but definitely solid for like the past like 5 or 6. I feel so bad for myself, but happy for him because just recently, within the last like week or two, he decided to take a major jump in life and to better himself and his family, and he has recently moved to Texas. So I'll get to see him still only once or twice a year, but that is who that mysterious gentleman is.
Oh, okay. Now, what part of Texas is Cody Nunn moving to?
Oh, man. I can't remember. I want to say it's like something Worth. I can't remember. Not Fort Worth. It's like Wellingworth or something like that. It's not too far away, I think, from San Antonio or Dallas. I can't remember exactly what it is.
Oh, okay. In your opinion, will Cody Nunn now be a fan of the Dallas Cowboys? Do you see this happening?
It's a pretty funny question, but a very serious one as well. I don't know. That's a good question. Honestly, I don't think so. But, in a situation like this, I've known the guy solid for 6 years, I've stated prior. Known him for 10 total, solid for about 5 to 6. I'm going to go off the deep end and say that I know the answer to this. I'm going to go ahead and just shout it out, and maybe in a year we can figure out if I was right or wrong. But I'm gonna say no. I think he's gonna stay a Colts fan.
Oh, okay, Colts. Okay, all right. Well, now what input did Cody Nunn have on your autobiography? Did he sometimes at least brew you some coffee to keep you going when you were writing? Did he do that?
Cody kept things very subtle for me. And made frequent visits. when I got to the point where I was more mobile, we did things together. We went on road trips. He kept things very well, and for me on a mentality standpoint. I stated this a couple times prior, but in moments where I could have been insane, they made things sane for me, him and his wife both. So, yes, Cody, his name is not mentioned in the book, but do know that with the turn of events, the way they went down in that book, there had to be a brink of sanity, and him and his wife and my girlfriend at the time were probably those factors that made things sane for me.
Oh, very nice. Okay. All right. Now, Mr. Radisson, I know I'm dating myself a little bit here, but have you ever gone on YouTube and gone back in time to the 1970s cartoon, and this is the early 70s cartoon, the Fat Albert cartoon, Fat Albert?
I am very familiar with that.
Oh, okay. Well, I only mention this because Cody Nunn's orange hat, stocking hat, reminds me of a hat that was worn by one of Fat Albert's friends. Would you agree with this?
I could agree with that, other than the fact that it got cut out fries, but yes.
That was one of the most orangey hats I have ever seen in a wrestling match. You never see an orange hat. They're very rare. Very rare.
This is true.
Oh, okay. Now, would you yourself rate the Fat Albert Show as one of your top three cartoons from the 70s, animated cartoons?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Can you give us your top three, just for the record?
Well, truth be told, I'm not really big in the cartoons and never really have been.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to recommend that you look up a cartoon called Catch That Pigeon, and one of the characters is Dastardly Dudley. Dastardly. The dog that laughs kind of funny.
And it says the title of it sounds like a wrestling match with Cody Nunn, so yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Rampage, you made your entrance into the ring and then promptly made your way out, and you confronted the sound lady. After you confronted her, she said, and I quote, "I have my orders." This was about fiddling with your entrance music. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners if you found out who gave the lady these orders?
I have not. As a matter of fact, I have been so darn busy, I forgot about it. But now that you mention it, I will definitely utilize that because, typically speaking, I do at least watch my videos one time and critique myself on how everything went. And I have not did that yet. So I will set a reminder in my phone because the next MCIW show is on Saturday, March 28th in Salem, Indiana at the Washington 4-H Fairgrounds. And when I go down there, I will make it a must-do to find out who prompted those orders, and I will let everybody know.
Yes, keep a close eye on that lady may be there doing your entrance music again. You got to keep an eagle eye out for her. Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Rampage, at the 1 minute and 39-second mark, you can hear a young kid say, "Turn it on again and make him mad again." Did you find out who this kid was?
No, but I did. I do recall hearing that in the ring when I was standing in there, and I don't know why that would make me mad because that's what I wanted to begin with, was her to turn it back on because she cut it too short.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, Mr. Radisson, Sean Casey came out with the entrance music from Motley Crue, and the song was Girls, Girls, Girls. My question is, were you a big fan of their bass player, Nikki Sixx, who once died taking heroin, was revived by the paramedics, and then he went home and shot up again that night?
I don't really judge people by the decisions they make typically, because a lot of the decisions they make lead to certain results that lead to lessons in life. You either learn from them or you don't. I will make comments, but I won't typically judge a person on situations of that nature. However, I am a fan of him. I am a fan of 6 AM. I am a fan of Motley Crue. And I actually did at one point, I was aligned as stated prior with Sean Casey numerous times in a stable known as the Five Most Wanted. To give everybody a little back insight on this feud that me and him just ended, I was still shocked that MCIW put out, and I wasn't shocked that they put out an open challenge on my behalf to any wrestler that wanted a shot at me for my belt. I was more or less shocked that he was the one out of everybody in this world who replied to it first. So, yeah, so I had came out to the Motley Crue music before with Sean standing by him, by his side, having his back. So that was more, that is a huge shock to me that he even accepted that challenge on behalf of MCIW. But in his defense, I will say this, he has been on, other than the first two matches with me, he has been on some kind of winning streak on winning belts. So I can't be too mad at him because he's been, his recent nickname has been the Belt Collector. So, and he's won multiple championships in different independent organizations and is still those champions. So I can't be too mad, but at the same time, it was a little deceiving on his behalf based off of the relationship we've had in the past.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, to your knowledge, has Sean Casey ever come out to the ring with the song Dr. Feelgood by Motley Crue?
To my acknowledgement, no.
Okay. Okay, very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Radisson, when Sean Casey came to the ring, he was also accompanied by someone who looked to be about 6'11" tall, and maybe around 290 pounds. Did you find out who this big guy that accompanied Sean Casey to the ring was? Because Sean Casey's head came up only to about his chest.
I can tell you everything you want to know about that guy. I don't know a lot, but I do know some. I can tell you this. If you ever watched the VH1 series Rock of Love with Bret Michaels, he was the bodyguard that was on that show. Also, his name is Big John, which is also the name that he used on Rock of Love with on VH1 with Bret Michaels. He was on every season, and he is on a limited basis right now on appearances because of the Motley Crue, Poison, Def Leppard, Joan Jett tour, because he is the real-life bodyguard for Poison and Bret Michaels. So whenever they go, whenever they're out of town, he's out of town. Whenever they don't have a show, he can make a wrestling show.
Am I correct in my video analysis in saying that he's close to 6'11", like Bill Walton was?
I would say that's pretty good estimation.
Oh, okay. Rampage, I'm known on this program for my video analysis. I'm very well known.
I could tell.
Okay. Well, Rampage, at the 5:25 mark, Sean had you leaned up against the turnbuckles, and he then gave you a stinger splash. And I got to say, he covered that space in that ring with pretty good 40, what would have been 40-yard speed, like at the NFL Combine. My question is, were you a big fan of Sting himself and his Stinger Splash?
Truth be told, so I had this friend named Josh, and all right, so when I was in my when I was an adolescent, coming up, first of all, I didn't have cable TV, but when I got to like my early teens, we actually had cable TV. Always been a fan of wrestling since I was four. I used to watch it all the time at other people's houses and stuff with them. But I used to watch WWF because I was a huge Stone Cold Steve Austin fan. And I liked everything on WWF. I liked all of it. WCW, I didn't really get into it much. But me and a guy I went to school with, named Josh, we would both. He was a WCW person. I was a WWF person. He only watched WWF when Stone Cold Steve Austin was on stage. I would only watch WCW when Diamond Dallas Page was on stage. And we would call each other and let each other know when this happened on our actual house phone and not no cell phone, because those were a very rare thing when I was younger to have. But some people did start to have them. They were big and giant and bulky, but people did have them. And in the process of watching it when Diamond Dallas Page was on, I did catch some Sting stuff. And I would say that over a time period, yes, I have became a Sting fan, always have been a fan of him. I would say that if Sean Casey was to put on makeup and dress like Sting, he would have that splash down to a T. I don't know what it's like to take that from Sting. It looks pretty hard. But I would say that if there was anybody that can deliver it like Sting, it would be Sean Casey. It was pretty hard hitting.
Okay, all right. Well, were you a big fan of Sting, the lead singer of the Police? Were you a big fan of him?
I mean, I would say I was. I mean, I'm a fan of anything wrestling. I mean, truth be told, I'm in this business, been in it for 20 plus years. I don't watch it. That's not because I don't like to. It's just I don't watch TV with my lifestyle change. And I'll glance up at something and see something, or I'll scroll across Facebook, which I put that on postponement for the time being. I'll scroll across Facebook strands and I'll see updates on stuff, but I don't really watch it that much. That doesn't mean I'm not a fan of it. So, yeah, I mean, pretty much really anything wrestling I'm a fan of. Rather be a person or something that happened or whatever the situation be. So, yes.
How come I get the feeling that Dude Love was one of your top three wrestlers of all time? Dude Love.
I would love Dude Love. Always. I would say he's in my top three. I would say he was cool. That was the character. That was the persona he threw off. So, yeah, I like Dude Love. I like Dude Love and Cactus Jack. Mankind was obviously the one that made the most money, but that's one thing I loved about watching WWF is, you know, you knew Mankind was going to be there. Just you always kind of were in suspense if Cactus Jack or Dude Love was going to make an appearance. So, yeah, I like Dude Love. I like his whole feud he had with Steve Austin. That was a great feud. And it should have been more. There should have been more Dude Love appearances than that. I liked his little angle he had. It was good. Cactus Jack was awesome too. He didn't get much of a story. I don't think. I think Mankind obviously was the biggest market and had the biggest stories. Dude Love had one every once in a while. And, well, Cactus Jack was just an appearance. I went back to the main point though. Nah, he wasn't in my top three. Yeah, maybe top 20. I mean, that's still pretty good. That's still a pretty good placing, knowing that there's, at the time, at least 50 workers in each promotion, including ECW. So let's just say there's 150 wrestlers. He's in the top 20. That's not bad.
Okay. All right. I always liked his Rock and Sock connection. That was very good.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Radisson, I can empathize with you you're not in such a good situation when you don't have cable TV. I once went steady with a girl just because she had cable TV.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yes. Unfortunately, she found out my ulterior motives, and we didn't last much longer after that. Yes. She pulled the plug, so to say. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Well, Rampage, many rock stars, including Gene Simmons, Eric Burdon of the rock groups War and the Animals, and even the before-mentioned Nikki Sixx of Motley Crue, have written their autobiographies. Have you ever read the New York Times best-selling book by Gene Simmons called Sex, Money, Kiss?
Oh, it has been a while. I don't really do much reading, but yes, I have, which reminds me, I probably should get an updated version of that. I'm sure they've got one with different color and all this other stuff, and probably special limited edition covers and stuff like that, just to kind of give it its own reboot, so to speak. But I do recall some of it. It's just been a while, and with, trust me, man, the last, one thing a lot of people don't know unless you read my book is I don't even think I put this in the book, but I don't ever watch TV. I don't ever watch movies. Now, recently, I'm engaged, and I have a daughter now, so, you know, been going to movies a little bit more, but TV, I don't ever watch TV. I'm a music person. I'd rather jam out to some heavy metal rock band than watch fake news or a rerun of Friends. I mean, that's just how I live my lifestyle. Plus, we're consuming, so I don't have time to really read or watch TV or anything. But, I mean, if I had a choice to do something out of that I've kind of hung up, I would pick up a book again before I pick up a TV remote. So that's probably something I should probably go ahead and utilize and try to get back in there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Rampage, you talked to Sign Guy earlier about your hospital visit and the Flash Mob. Have you considered being part of a tag team named the Flash Mob?
No. That was a pretty scary situation. And truth be told, I've been told I'm a pretty scary guy. And I don't think that name would be any more intense or scarier than it could get. And the truth be told, you would have to have the right components to get the same reaction that I received within myself. And I think that would be really hard to do. I think the closest thing that wrestling's had of that is probably like the Bullet Club or maybe Nexus. They just kind of showed up out of nowhere all the time. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you feel yourself fortunate that you did not get this blood clot in the age of coronavirus?
That was a really bad idea to even mention that. Jesus.
That's pretty self-evident, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you kind of did that one on purpose. We can go on and on. I have been on social media all day talking about coronavirus. And everybody has their own opinions. I have mine, and I'll have to stick to it unless it's passed. But no.
Okay.
To answer your question, I don't think having that during coronavirus would be it's its own entity. And honestly, once again, back to the main point, the good Lord above is going to pull my card when it's time. So there, at that point, there's nothing I could do about it. And if it's my time to go, that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, Rampage, you also had a match with Sean Casey on January 25th. The ICW Crossroads Championship. This was held in a very impressive venue, at least it looked like this on YouTube. It had a highly polished floor and what appears to be a very nice skylight that had a crescent moon and stars in it. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what venue this was held at? It was very impressive.
It was impressive, and not many promotions, I can honestly say, have been in this venue, but it was the old National Center, the Marat Shrine, the Murat Temple, downtown Indianapolis on New Jersey Street. WWE NXT is near. I happen to have been there. I've seen numerous bands play there, like metal rock bands that are up and coming that I like, play in that in the same venue and have like rock and roll shows there. It's a standing room only venue typically, but that show, as you did see, there was chairs there and there was tables. But yes, that building is monumental. I mean, when I was a kid, me and my friend Jake Capel, we went and seen ECW there, and it was the night. It was Taz had just made his debut in the Royal Rumble, and so did Kurt Angle. And then that was a big thing at the time because Taz just come from ECW. Nobody expected him there. And then I attended this ECW on TNN event in that same building, and that was the same night that Taz randomly showed up out of nowhere to challenge Mike Awesome for the ECW championship while he signed under a contract with WWE, and he defeated Mike Awesome for the ECW championship because Mike Awesome had a contract with WCW at the time. So, yes, it was a very impressive venue. It was a very awesome place to say that I've got to wrestle in that same venue. Now, there's multiple buildings within that venue that you have to tons of different levels to it. It's like three levels high, but generally everything's still in that same building. It was just really cool to be able to say that I got to do that. And I thank MCIW and HCW for holding that event there. That was also the same day that I got inducted into the Hall of Fame. It was very, I wouldn't say it was the biggest show I've ever been a part of, but it was pretty close. But man, it was a blessing just to be able to say I've been in the same building and done what I love to do as many other people that's up and coming or that's, you know, like NXT people or back in the day ECW and stuff like that. It's cool to be able to say that I got to share that venue with them.
Yeah, boy, that does sound impressive. That very good matches you've seen there. Holy smokes. Hopefully I'll make it out there one day. Hopefully. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Okay, well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Awesome. It was good talking with you, man.
Thank you, QT. Well, Rampage, one of the things that you have done, obviously, in your 20 years is wrestle in a wide variety of different venues. Anywhere a promoter can put a ring, they can hold a show, so we've wrestled in all manners of different types of buildings. We've wrestled in outdoor venues, indoor venues, armories, schools, convention centers, all sorts of things. What would you say has been the best venue for professional wrestling where you've competed?
I would say that one was the one I just talked about, MCIW. Was it the biggest crowd? No, the biggest crowd was at the Illinois State Fair for Intergalactic Championship Wrestling, I believe the company was. It was Diceman Ronnie Vegas' promotion. There was 1,000 people in attendance at that event at the State Fair. It's huge. And, you know, probably the best booking I've ever seen. He put us in 5-star Hilton hotels and took us out, got a steak dinner at the time when I did eat meat. We went out, partied with Rikishi. They closed the club down after hours, and we got to continue to party in it. That was the best booking ever. But, yeah, that venue that I was just talking about, the MCIW did, man, that was – I mean, not many people can say they've done that. Not many people can at all, dude. And I got the main event for that company in that same building. That was so cool.
Well, we're coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure you have ample time. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, the book, the social medias, the upcoming appearances that we know are confirmed, the merchandise, your favorite Chinese food restaurant, anything you want to plug, go right ahead.
All right. I promise everybody a special tonight on the show. So today and today only, if you message me on Facebook and ask me for my PayPal link or my Cash App link, I'll send it to you. My copies of my book are $12 today and today only. It will be $10 free shipping, and I will send you three random things. So either a Rampage sticker, maybe a pencil, Rampage pencil, something like that. I will send you three random things with it absolutely free, which is about a $10 value by itself. So you're getting $20 plus free shipping of stuff for only $10 today only. It goes until 9 p.m. tonight. Send me a message. Ask me for the PayPal link. I'll send it to you, and in the notes section, just put Turnbuckle Turmoil when you send the payment over. Once again, it's only $10. You can find me on social media at Rampage Radisson, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and just want to thank all the promoters, the Jesus Christ, my parents, everybody, MCIW, Salem, Indiana, the 28th. Bell time, 7:30 p.m. Doors open at 7, I believe, 6. Lord knows what's going to happen there, but just know that Rampage is in the house that night. So make sure you come out. Also, I won't be at this show, and I apologize before that, but the world-famous Tyndall Armory, where Dick the Bruiser started wrestling back in the day, on May 2nd, MCIW will be there, and they were hosting what they call Legends Night. They're bringing some of the old-school WWA guys back, Dick the Bruiser days, just for meet-and-greet appearances. Unfortunately, I already had some booked that night, so I will not be there, but you want to be there. Bubba Brazil Jr. will be there, Big Chuck Wagon, Saul Creechman. I've seen the flyer very slightly, so I don't know everybody that's going to be there, but that is going to be a huge event. So make sure you wrestling makes its debut back in at the Tyndall Armory. So make sure you come out to that one. That's going to be May the 2nd. Just anybody want to reach out to me, shoot me up a message. Like I said, that book is on sale tonight for the next 2 hours, $10. You get three free Rampage items at Mystery, and shipping's free. So when I send over the PayPal link once again, put in the notes, Turnbuckle Turmoil. That way I know where you heard this from, and that will get you your all the incentives, the discount on the book. It'll get you three free Rampage merch items inside your package, and shipping's free. Hey, guys, better deal than what Sign Guy got. No offense. It was. I love the guy to death, but he's even got a mitt. That was pretty good. That's a pretty good deal. So, yeah, anybody want to book me? I'm always open to travel. Got a reliable vehicle. I only work for a few promotions just because maybe I could be that person that shows up at yours. So get at me. Worked a lot of big-name stars. Thank you, Sign Guy. Thank you, Turnbuckle Turmoil. Thank you, co-host, everybody, for having me on the show.
Yes.
Well, Rampage, as always, it is a pleasure. And I did get a little bit of a lesser deal on that book. I did the book, so there is that, and definitely I'm sure fans will enjoy it, so they should take advantage of that deal. And we will be back with you fans. We aren't going anywhere, so you can join us on Sunday afternoon. We will have Scrapyard Dog back with us, so make sure you are with us then. Be safe out there. Definitely double and triple check if you're planning to go to a wrestling event, as lots of them are being canceled last minute, and we will be back with you soon.
Just before.